You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The pandemic changed the way a lot of people work, and for a lot of people, it changed where they work. With so much disruption, some employers say they've seen an erosion of loyalty. It's a two-way street. Workers might feel like their company doesn't value them enough or treat them well enough. Employers might see workers not trying so hard or switching jobs more frequently. It can be hard to rebuild loyalty if neither side feels like they're getting it from the other. Our next guest has some ideas for where to start and what might have gone wrong. You could join in at 800-642-1234. How loyal do you feel to your workplace? What does loyalty mean for you as an employee? What does it take for you, if you're in the working world, to feel loyal to an employer? What do you need from them? Flip it around. If you employ people, do you feel like people are more or less loyal to you than they used to be? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Aki Ito is chief correspondent at Business Insider, covering the workplace and the economy. Her latest piece is called The End of Workplace Loyalty, Why Work Feels So Broken Right Now and How It Can Be Repaired. Aki, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you back. And you've written a lot about, you know, what we do on the job, our attitudes toward work. We've talked about a few of them on the show. What led you to tackle this concept of workplace loyalty? What got you interested?
You know, I've just been hearing about it over and over again from readers, you know, whether I'm writing about quiet quitting or job hopping. You know, readers seem to always kind of divide into two groups. The bosses and the managers seem to always complain, like, gosh, like employees these days, like they seem to have no loyalty. Now, on the other side are, you know, kind of younger employees who, you know, seem equally aggrieved. They're saying, you know, why should I be loyal to you when you're not loyal to me? It just seemed like there was this big divide and I wanted to dig deep into it.
And part of that digging was, you know, to see if this was just sort of a vague golden age concept, like back in the day, workers and employers were more loyal. And you dug into it. You see some truth to that for a part of American history.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, in the three or so decades after World War II, there was just this, you know, period of, you know, enormous generosity from American companies, from American employers, where they really did share the wealth with their employees. And during that time, you know, they embarked on an extraordinary expansion of benefits like healthcare and pensions for employees. There was this real kind of attitude and, you know, a sense of like obligation to take care of employees. And in return, employees were happy to be loyal to their employers because, you know, they knew they would be taken care of. It made, you know, it made sense for them. It was rational for them to be loyal. But that's obviously not the job market we have anymore.
What changed that?
You know, it seems like, you know, attitudes really started to shift in the 1980s. A lot of it was because of globalization. Japanese companies at the time were, you know, starting to look like a real threat to the competitiveness of American businesses. So a lot of CEOs, kind of the Jack Welch types, you know, sat down and said, like, we can't do this anymore. We can't be so generous to our employees. We have to cut costs. As a result, a lot of benefits went away. A big one was pension. Of course, and employers started to embark on layoffs much more regularly than before. Back in, you know, the 60s, even the 70s, layoffs were really, really rare. But today, of course, they happen all the time.
There was that expectation, I think this is a commonplace now, that, hey, in that era you're talking about, the post-World War II era, you might come back from the war or graduate from high school or maybe college, sign on with a company at the lower rung, maybe work your way up a little bit, retire from that company at the end of the day. That sounds, I think, like a fantasy life to a lot of people now.
Yeah, certainly it doesn't happen now. I mean, you know, it's important to acknowledge that this kind of lifetime employment was, you know, offered only to a select group of the population. So women were shut out of these jobs. You know, workers of color were shut out of these jobs too. For blue collar workers without a college education, you know, they had a little bit more instability as well. But, you know, if you were a college educated white male worker back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, yeah, you could definitely expect that kind of job security. That just seems like a total fantasy today.
Aki Ito is with us from Business Insider, looking at the idea of loyalty in the workplace and lack of same. As she says, her readers who are in management feel like workers aren't loyal in many ways, maybe like they used to be. Employees saying, hey, companies aren't loyal to us. You could join in with your thoughts on either or both sides of that at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's take things to the present day now, Aki. What, from the employees' side of things, if they're not feeling loyal to their employer, what might that look like?
So I think, you know, that would probably most benefit, most manifest in job hopping, right? So as soon as, you know, something goes wrong, they're already mass applying to all kinds of jobs, staying at only a single company for a year or two, sometimes only a few months. You know, in the most extreme case, which is was the subject of what I wrote about a few months ago, you know, somebody might even take on multiple full-time jobs, which is usually against the employee agreement at most companies, and, you know, kind of secretly juggle those jobs for not only extra pay, but extra job security.
And then on the other side of things, if an employee is looking at a business and saying, hey, they're not being loyal to me, well, what could that mean?
If an employee is saying, you know, a business isn't loyal to me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think like also, you know, it means that you won't, you know, go above and beyond for your company. The interesting thing for me about this story is like, even though we know intellectually that layoffs are a thing, that, you know, employers stopped being loyal to employees a long time ago, I still think there is this kind of like norm to be loyal to your employer. It feels a little icky, you know, when you're job shopping behind your boss's back. And so, you know, the interesting thing is like, it's totally rational, I think, for workers to job hop, or maybe sometimes even taking a second or third full-time job secretly. You know, they're just protecting themselves in this current economy. It's, you know, I think a lot of people still feel bad about doing that. Like it's kind of against the rules in some way. So I find that tension interesting too.
We are talking about loyalty at the workplace, going in both directions, employees to their employers and vice versa. Aki Ito wrote about this at the Business Insider. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever had an employer where you thought, you know what, in some ways they're treating me in a good way, even if maybe I'm not paid the most, even if it's not a perfect job, they've earned my loyalty and I'm going to stick with them as long as I can? Have you ever had the opposite kind of job where you think they've done nothing to deserve my loyalty? I'm out of here the moment I get another offer. If you are an employer, how do you try to generate loyalty among the people who work for you? What does loyalty mean in the workplace setting to you? Join in at 800-642-1234. Again, that's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. If you're on the job right now, it's okay. We'll give you an exemption. You can take a few minutes to do that. Email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Aki Ito. She's a senior correspondent at Business Insider, where she covers the workplace and the economy. She's with us to talk about her latest article on loyalty at work, why both workers and employers feel like they're not getting a lot of it. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your experiences or your questions, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go to our callers now. Louisa is with us in Cameron. Louisa, hi.
Hi, I'm just calling to say that, you know, I'm in my early 50s and I've wanted to, and I've been that loyal employee that drove through the snow and kept things going. And but now I really honestly don't think most bosses care anymore. You know, you have to be kind to your employees. You can't just give them all these arbitrary rules and expect them to do it, you know?
So if you're making suggestions to the next generation, Louisa, what would you tell them?
Well, I tell my daughter that if you don't like a job, you know, talk to your boss. If things don't work out, it's not going to get better. You're just better off to go look for another job, you know. And
thanks a lot for sharing that, Louisa. Louisa says, hey, I was the loyal employee, and doesn't sound like she feels like she got a lot out of it. Is that something you hear often from people?
Yeah, absolutely. There was one, organizational psychologist I spoke to for this story who came up with a concept of, it's called the psychological contract. It's, you know, what employees and employers think they owe each other and what they're owed in return. And a really important part of that contract is reciprocity. You know, if you give something back, you kind of expect something similar in return. And I think that's what Louisa was just expressing. You know, she was loyal, but her employer wasn't loyal back. That's a violation of the contract. And so, you know, it's no wonder that she feels, you know, disillusioned about the state of the workplace today.
Louisa, thanks for the call. Mary joins us calling from Iowa. Mary, hello.
Well, hi. Yeah, I'd like to comment or bring up the fact that some of those good old days when the employers were taking better care of the employees was when unions were more more common. And I think that was when the raises in pay and the security in having a job has something to do with the fact that they were union jobs.
Mary, thanks for that call. That's interesting, Aki, because sometimes we think of unions and management as, you know, confrontational, as adversarial. Mary suggesting, that said, maybe those improved benefits kept people together longer.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely the case. Unions were instrumental in negotiating for a lot of these benefits, especially for blue-collar workers. You know, back in the day, seasonal layoffs were pretty common for blue-collar workers, but it was more standard for them to be called back when times were better, and unions really pushed for that, you know, to call back the same workers that were seasonally laid off before, and they really, pushed for, kind of like minimum wages, even for those workers who were seasonally laid off. So they did a lot, and even the threat of unions, I think, pushed employers to be good to their employees. That was certainly the case for Kodak. They really didn't want their employees to unionize. So that was one of the reasons, actually, that they were so generous to employees.
Mary, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Robert joins us now in Appleton. Hi, Robert. What's on your mind?
Morning. Hi. Just a comment about the loyalty on employees' part. If there's a lack of it, it's due to the employers, first of all, taking away benefits, pay, heightened insurance, and slowly, usually by 1,000 cuts. I'm retired from a company, worked for over 30 years, and I witnessed this, where they have taken away frozen pensions and taken away pensions for future employees. Taking away vacations, substandard below inflation raises if you get a raise, increased health, your share of the health costs have increased. It's just it's kind of on them if you understand what I'm saying.
I do. Robert, thanks for the call. Aki, when you talk to employees, maybe people have been in the workforce longer, as Robert had, is that something you hear them talking about over time?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the really important part of what Robert talked about is, you know, he said it happened slowly. It was, you know, through 1,000 cuts, not just one large gash. Perhaps that's why, you know, norms have been so slow to change, you know, even though it's been decades since, you know, we had this time when we could expect job security in the workplace. I think the norms have been really slow to change. And I think that's because it's not like one big thing has happened. It's just that these things have changed very slowly, but consistently over time. Sometimes when you have those slow, boring changes, it's harder to write about, right? And so I wonder if that's one of the reasons why I've been hearing so much from readers too, just because this is kind of an old phenomenon, but people seem to really still want to talk about it.
Thanks for that call and for sharing that experience. A newer phenomenon, Aki, since COVID, and this is something you and I have talked about before, is work from home. And now you write in your latest piece that that employer maybe may feel more disconnected from that remote employee and maybe treat them worse and with less loyalty and maybe be even more willing than they had been to replace them with a contractor or a temp worker or something like that.
Yeah, that's absolutely what I'm hearing from employers. You know, it's just when you don't see an employee, you know, in person every day, it's just kind of easier to see them as a number, you know, as an avatar on Slack, as opposed to a real person. And so employers are, I mean, there is real data showing that employers are kind of moving away from employing people on a full-time basis and resorting more to contractors, to temps, to freelancers, that kind of thing, to part-time employees. You know, there are some people who like that form of employment, right? It gives them more freedom. But the flip side of that is a lot of other employees who really depend on their employers for benefits like healthcare. So that's definitely one thing to look out for. I think it's a little bit of a kind of a scary phenomenon for a lot of workers.
Talking to Aki Ito with Business Insider, looking at loyalty and lack of same between employers and employees. Back to your calls now. We've got Nick with us in Beloit. Nick, what did you want to bring up?
I think one of the things that I find most interesting about employers and employees and why they are starting to clash is because there's been talk about a four-day work week. And I noticed in some places the bosses have a four-day work week while the employees are still expected to have a five-day work week. So it breeds resentment. Have you noticed this at all?
Oh, interesting, Nick. Aki, is that something you've run into?
You know, yeah, I think like 4-day work weeks, I mean, I would love one, but I think most employers are reluctant to offer it, even though there's a lot of evidence that productivity wouldn't necessarily decline. And I do think that one of the concerns, even if an employer were to offer a 4-day work week, is that you would continue to be expected to work that Friday as well.
And I think also bringing up the point there that if the management is doing something like working 4 days a week or in some other way slacking from the view of their employees, could that breed resentment?
Yes. I don't think I've necessarily heard of that before. If they do, it certainly could. I think we're seeing this more with work from home. A lot of managers seem to be, you know, working from their I hear from a lot of employees that their CEOs are working from their vacation homes or something, but they aren't allowed to work from outside the office. And they just feel like, you know, they're being held to different rules than management is. So I hear that a lot.
We just have a few minutes left, Aki, and I want to get into some of the solutions you point toward. Are there employers who are trying to tackle this loyalty issue in a creative way to try to bring back, maybe in a different way, that sense of loyalty?
Yes. So I think like the most important thing is that, you know, for employers and employees to come together and really like revise the terms of the contract, you know, to be honest with each other about, you know, what they expect of each other and what they expect in return. You know, one thing I talk about is that employers, for example, they probably can't promise job security in this kind of economy anymore. Or at least like lifetime employment. But, you know, what they probably still can is, you know, to offer employees transparency, to give them a heads up when the business is not doing well, to maybe, you know, offer the opportunity of voluntary buyouts instead of resorting to layoffs the first sign of trouble arises. And then in return, they could ask their employees to, you know, maybe not stick with them for life, but, you know, to give 2 weeks notice, to put in hard work, to be good teammates to their colleagues.
And one thing I had not heard about this, you talked to some new studies, alumni program. So, hey, we're a business here, you've left, but that doesn't mean we need to part company. What does that look like?
Yeah, so this is actually apparently pretty common at management consultancies, where it's, you know, they hire like a ton of new grads out of college or business school who stay at the consultancy for maybe just the first 2 or 3 years, and then they usually just leave. That's just kind of like the business model that they have. Very few people stay on to become partners. But then, you know, they'll hold like quarterly networking events or just have like a newsletter for people who've been with the consultancy in the past, even sometimes help them get new jobs. And that way they kind of breed like a lifetime loyalty, like a new kind of loyalty between the employer and the employee. By doing that, you know, I think consultancies do this because they acknowledge that a lot of their former employees end up becoming clients. With other kinds of companies, they might actually hire those old employees back. These are called boomerangs. So I think there is this kind of recognition that you could still have a lifetime relationship between the employer and the employee, even if, you know, they don't, the employer and the employee, like, aren't in this, like, direct employment relationship throughout that time.
Aki, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on.
That's Aki Ito, senior correspondent at Business Insider, covering the workplace and the economy. She was with us today to talk about her piece on loyalty in the workplace, lack of loyalty in the workplace, and some ways to try to bring it back. Still time for you to share your perspectives, maybe your experiences as employer or employee. You could email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, Mark Zuckerberg and other social media leaders face tough questions from Congress about the safety of children on their platforms. We'll dig into the testimony and some possible changes in regulations and law. And could an American election campaign be done with dignity and respect? We'll meet a nationwide project that's tracking political speech in the 2024 election tomorrow on Central Time.